Today's daf in Masechet Mura brought to you by Ben Chomot Yerushalayim is daf Dalet. We really are holding on daf Dalet, but I just wanted to, because we ran through it very quickly, I just wanted you to go over with you the very last piece. So remember what we've been talking about is the question about what the halacha would be about a lav she'en bo ma'aseh. And we found that there were a number of different approaches. First of all, when we were talking about a lav she'en bo ma'aseh, somebody's still on there. Asking so little from people. So when we're talking about Elav She'en Bo Ma'aseh, we included a little bit of a range of issues in Elav She'en Bo Ma'aseh. Because, I mean, we're not really only talking about Elav She'en Bo Ma'aseh at all. We were talking about also Lavim that had to do with speaking. Elav She'en Bo Ma'aseh would be where literally you do nothing. It's the passivity. That is the law. For instance, don't leave over notar, right? I mean, you can't actively leave over notar. You don't do anything, and the carbon gets left over. Daniel, you okay this morning? You're happy? Yeah? Okay, fine. I don't know. You look like so tarun. Okay. So that would be a case of notar. Thank you. Long distance. Okay. Or we had the case yesterday. We were talking about a shvua that I... Oh, wow, look who's up. A shvua that I will eat the soup. I don't eat... and I don't eat the soup. Okay. So over there, I sit back and I don't do. So that's completely passive. That for sure is passive. Now, included in this lav she'en bo ma'aseh, we've also been talking about things that are really a lav to do. The Torah says, don't be maimer. I speak and I am maimer, right? Or I make a shvua and I lie. I say, I didn't eat the soup. So, and I make a shvua to that. So it may be a lie. I didn't do anything, but I did say something. So we've also included cases in which we've said things. We're assuming that that's also lav she'en bo ma'aseh. Then we also had a further extension, which was Rabbi Yochanan's point. Rabbi Yochanan's point was that you cannot include cases where the saying something changes reality, like tmura. So there you say, it's all very nice to say, all I did was say something. But in saying something, you took a carb, you took an animal, and you turned it into the property of Hegdash and the dinim of Hegdash. That's not called not doing anything. You did a tremendous amount. So there were very active changes in the way the world is. You may have only triggered those actions by your dibur, but that is called through your dibur, you did a maisa. Okay, so we've had these different categories. So yesterday, we had a number of different approaches. One was that Rav, there's no such thing as Bikai Malkus and a lav she'en bo ma'aseh. The other is Rabbi Yehuda, no, you do get Malkus for a lav she'en bo ma'aseh, which we're going to get into later. Then we had, well, normally you don't get a lav Malkus for lav she'en bo ma'aseh except for three major cases. Those were the cases that we were now talking about. And then we had Rabbi Yochanan who was saying, yeah, you don't normally get a lav of Malkus and a lav she'en bo ma'aseh, but when you do an act with your speaking, then that's not called a lav she'en bo ma'aseh. So we had these special cases that we were talking about yesterday, three cases, and then Rabbi Yossi, we think, up until now, adds a different case, right? So we started talking about the cases being unique. We went through the whole case of Shvua. We went through the Shvua Sheker. We brought a raya from Shvua Shav, extended it. Memer, why is Tamura different? We talked about how it is that the Tamura specifically added, then the Torah added, and Rabbi Yochanan didn't like the fact that we called Tamura lav she'en bo ma'aseh. So the last one was somebody who curses out his friend. Rabbi Yossi adds, if you're mocked him, Truma and Bikurim, to Truma to Bikurim, which we'll get to later today. We were in the middle of explaining on the Kalalas Chavero B'Shem, and we wanted to know how do we know that that is a big exception to the rule, and that, in fact, you would get Malkus. So we learned it out from the way that the Torah says, V'hifla Hashem et makotecha, and this it says in conjunction with the Pasuk, Imlo tishmor la'asot lira et Hashem. Oh, lira et Hashem anichbad anora. Then v'hifla Hashem et ma'asecha. So what would that mean? Acting in a way that would not express proper decorum towards the Shem Hashem, in which v'yifla Hashem et makotecha means that you're going to get beaten in court, because v'pilu ha'shofet, That must be, we said, that must be that you cursed out your friend. So he said, what do you mean, you cursed out your friend? I mean, there's lots of other things that could be. Maybe it is that you're just bandy about the Shem Hashem without caring whether it has any meaning or not. Or maybe a brocha levatola. I don't want to say brocha levatola because the truth is, as Tosfos points out, brocha levatola is not considered to be stam, really, levatola, to be over on the use of your eyes. Because it's giving a brocha, takarish brocha. You don't call that actually, it's osir min rabbanan, but we don't say that. That's how Tosfos approaches that. But in any event, who's to say that it's a mikala? You say it's a mikala. Ema, let's just start again from three lines up from the bottom. Maybe it's Moshe Shem Shamayim Levatala, right? So how do we know that it's not that? So we said, well, even if it is, I mean, a mikala less chavero is not going to be worse, is it? We said, yes, maybe it is. Because mikala less chavero, in addition to the fact that you're banding out the shame for absurd purposes, you are also over on an isser in cursing out another guy because you were betzayer him. That's what we were up to yesterday. I might have thought that you're not going to be chayiv in that case because the Torah doesn't want you to get a kapora on that type of thing where you use the shame to hurt somebody. Lotiske lebo malchus. Those were the last words that we said yesterday. Malchus would be insufficient. So that was we were literally on the top word of daf dalet amud alef. And I said today we'll finish up. So we left off sort of on the edge of our seats. Lo matzit amrit. You cannot say such a thing. Because we know that the Torah actually is definitely referring over here to Mekalel. And a Mekalel does have a kapara, whether it's b'shem or not. Tichtiv. Lo tekalel chiresh. Says in the Torah, any type of klola. You cannot be Mekalel. And it talks about a nosi bam chalosar. So even a chiresh, which is the least of all of them. And therefore, there is a lav, comes along the pasuk to tell me that there is makas for that lav. And that is v'yifla Hashem et makotecha. So if you're going to tell me, b'shlob l'kalel et chavero, so think about it. In order to give somebody makas, do you have to give him an azhara? Yes. Besides hatra'ah, you have to tell him. The Torah tells you what lav you will be over. Do not do that. Okay, do not do what? Go ahead. Be yorei et Hashem. Okay, but what should I not do? Doesn't say anywhere what not to do. The only place it says what not to do is do not curse at your friend. Fine, so then that must be what we're referring to. We're talking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying, and they're going to lay you down and they're going to beat you. What did I do? Do not curse your friend. Okay, so that must be what we're referring to. Asks the Gemara, well, I mean, doesn't it imply when it says treat the shame with respect? Doesn't it imply, and do not use the shame? It does, but implications are not the way that the Torah gives me warnings. Remember, the Torah is for dummies. And I'm saying, well, I only heard to do something. What was I not supposed to do? So the whole concept of an azara, especially hatra'ah that we give, is literally for dummies, right? I mean, if the guy waits 2 minutes, oh, gee, I forgot. So it has to be hatra'ah, like immediately then, you know. It has to be like pinpointed. And otherwise we say, look, as far as we're concerned, it's a shogeg because he's a dummy. Okay, so the only way to give the guy malchus, the Torah makes it very clear, and you got to make it very clear. So let's see that inside. So if you're going to tell me, as we said, that the issue over here is to be over on lo tekalel cheresh, so then that explains why it is he would get malchus. You're going to tell me, well, it's just a question of bandying things about. Where's the azora? Excuse me, azora to mihecha. What do you mean? Alam Allah. Why? Doesn't it say at Hashem lo kecha tira, lo tot avod, and it says you're supposed to have yirat shamayim? Doesn't that mean you better not just use my? Yeah, it means that, but not for dummies. That's called an azarat aseh. That means I'm supposed to understand that it's wrong because you told me what's right. That's not called a lotasa. And the only azora is a lotasa. Therefore, it's clear that the only way we can match up these two dinim of v'hifla Hashem et makotecha in relative to the issue of et Hashem elokecha tirah, that shame, hanichbad, which the Rambam uses, by the way, this is that based on this. So that's the essence of the way that we view the shame, is this pasuk we see from the Gemara. Nonetheless, we can only match it up to the specific issue of mekalel es chavero b'shem. And therefore, we say, clearly, that is an exception to this rule. Now, comes along Rabbi Yezir, Rabbi Hanina, and he said, no, well, we got to include a fourth case, which is an exception. And that is something that you say and is also going to be a malchus. And what is that? It says, Hamakdim truma lebikurim. Wow, that's a real new one. So if you talk off truma before you are taken off the bikurim from your field, you're going to get malchus. Gee whiz, and I'm just trying to be a little bit zoriz, you know. Okay. So it says in there, why my time? God, why does Rabbi Chanina say that that iser is an exception to the rule? Because look, it says in the pasuk, "Mleyatcha v'dimaacha lo ta'acher." Do not make one later than it's supposed to be. Now, what are these two things? Mleyatcha is bikurim. Bikurim is what it is that we take off when the tvua becomes mole, right? It's now ready to have its bikurim taken out of. So we call it malaya because the moment that it's filled, you're supposed to go out there, you tie your little ribbon around it, this is going to be my bikurim, and now I'm finished. Then I can go ahead and now I can start taking it after bringing, get him on the other side.
Don't even think about it. Don't even think about it.
Well, it's hard to focus when somebody's got his fist in your face. I mean, but all right, we could try to focus.
I realize.
We could definitely try to focus. Okay, dimacha. Dimacha is called truma. Why is it called truma? Because the point of truma is that it is mixed and has to be removed. So dema means mixture, like Moshe Kosev Bedema. So that's the idea of things being... No, demai is with an olive. No. It's a completely different
connection in the Latin.
No. So because of that, when it's saying lo ta'acher means don't put them in the wrong order. So because of that, that's the pasuk. Now, how do I know that you would be loka on it? So this is not what we have to get into the machlokas. Itma. Hikdim truma lebikurim. Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina argue about this case. We don't know who says what. We don't know who says what. I thought we just said Rabbi Yosef. Well, let's see. Chadam aloka v'chadam aino aloka. Well, I mean, it's pretty clear, isn't it? Tistayim, it's now clear that it was Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina who said loka. I mean, didn't Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina just got finished saying that Magdim, Truma L'Bikurim, is the big number four? So now we know he's the guy that's, that your Malkus is Chal. On Malayat Chavdim Achalot Acher. It's clear, isn't it? No, says the Gemara. I mean, yeah, it is clear. But, you know, on the other hand, it's also clear the opposite way. Because Ada Rabba, this time the Rebbe Lozer would do Amalok. I could prove that it's actually Rebbe Lozer who says you get Malkus because take a look at this Mishnah. Hayulafanav shtei kakalot shel teva. Listen, here's a guy has got two separate basketfuls. Neither of them have had their maizus taken from them. So what he wants to do, remember, we have the cases where you don't have a container, and you want to take off trumas and maizers, right? So what you can do is you could say that what I am going to take out afterwards and put into the other container, that should be now considered to be the maizer, and the rest of it is now metukan. Then you leave over that part at the end, or you take it out when you're able to have that kli. It's all been semech on brera, and then it's immediately considered to be metukan right at that moment. It's metukan. But suppose this guy's got a chop. What he wants to do is he wants to use each of these baskets as the container for the other basket's meisers. Okay, so what he says is the meiser that I am going to take out from this first container, it's going to be the meiser on this second container. And the meiser that I take out from this second container subsequently will then be the meiser for what's supposed to be in the first container. Now, the moment that you said your first part of your statement, the second container became kosher. Because you said, I'm leaving the meiser in that second container for this. Great. But now when you try to do it the other way around, you can't. Because the other container, how in the world are you going to now use this container, container number two, which is now not tevel? You can't take off from something that is not tevel on the container number one, which is tevel. So the first part of your statement, that's fine. The second part is just ridiculous. We just ignore it. You're going to just simply have to take off Trumas and Maestras from that other one after removing a little bit for the first one. But what you're saying now is useless, right? So that's the first part of the discussion. It has nothing to do with what we're saying now. So Hayulafanav Shtei Kakalot Shel Tevel. The Amar Maaser Shel Zo Bezo. Fine. So then Harishona Mu'useret. That's fine. What if you say Shel Zo Bezo V'Shel Zo Bezo? You try to do it the other way around also. Then the first one works. Rishona Mu'useret. Vashniya Eina Mu'useret. But the second one does not work because it was nonsensical. I can't take off on something that isn't Tevel for something that is Tevel. Now, how about if you really have a chop? You'll do it all simultaneously. Okay? So suppose you say that I want Ma'asrot Tehem, both of their Ma'asrot should be Ma'aser Kalkala Bechaverta. Each one should be simultaneously in the other one. Brilliant. So now you can't go wrong, you figure, right? Okay, so everything would be fine over here, right? So what is the halacha in that case? So the halacha is kara et Hashem. What you did was, yes, you did actually create the proper idea, maisras. You can pour out from each one the proper maisra rishon and the proper maisra sheni. There's only a slight problem, which is that you'll get malchus. Why? Because the same idea of Melayatcha v'dimacha lo ta'acher would imply that the Torah does not want you doing a change in the order of the Seder of the Maisers and Trumas and Bikurim and the things that need to be given to Hashem, need to be given to the Kohen, need to be given to the Levi, need to be given from the Levi to the Kohen. After the Levi gets his Maiser Rishon, he has to take off Maiser Trumas Maiser from that Maiser Rishon. So says Rebbe Lazar, because what you did over here is because the moment, consider what happened over here, the moment that you took off the Maiser Sheni for this one, Higdim Maaser Sheni Sheba, the Maaser Rishon Shebechaverta, assuming that you're not allowed to do that. So now, the moment that you say, if I want this to be both the Maaserotayim, I want this to be both the Maaser Rishon and the Maaser Sheni of the other one, right? That's what I'm saying. I want all the maisers of this one to be in that one. So each one of those baskets needed to have maiser rishon and maiser sheni taken from it, which is fine. The thing is that when I took out the maiser sheni for it, that maiser sheni never had maiser rishon taken. Normally, when I take maiser rishon, it includes the part that is going to be the maiser sheni, right? I take out the first tenth for maaser rishon. Now, what's left is still tevel, but tevel for maaser sheni, not tevel for maaser rishon. The maaser rishon is fine. No, even the first case. No, because what happens is, let's take it the simplest case, says Rebbe Lazar. You said I want to take maaser rishon and maaser sheni from this other basket on this one. The moment you took it off, both of them, what happened is that the Maaser Sheni from the second one had never had Maaser Rishon taken from it. That's the problem. I had only taken out for the other basket, but I never took out for this basket, right? Clear? And that's a sword. Therefore, you're going to get Malkus. Okay? So the normal way to take off Trumas and Maaser is it comes out of the same basket, and by doing so, by definition, it goes in order. But if I would, let's imagine a case where I say, you know what? I only want to take out Maaser Sheni from that basket on this basket. Let's forget about the Maaser Rishon, right? I take off Maaser Sheni. Did that Maaser Sheni have Maaser Rishon taken from it? No, exactly. How could you take Maaser Sheni before you took Maaser Rishon? So normally, if we've all been in one basket, it wouldn't have been a problem. Says Rebbe Lazar, now you're really in trouble. Because you're constantly being over on the sister. So you're going to have malchus. Maybe the sheikh, the maaser sheni sheba, the maaser shebirishon, shebechaverta. So you're not allowed to do that at all, right? Fine. Now, in the case where one goes in the other, you know, there would be less of a problem, right? Because over there, you will still be over on an assay, as we'll see. We'll get a little bit more at this later. But what's important for us right now is to show that it's clear that if Rebbe Lazar holds, you get Malkus for being over on this Isser, then he's saying, Malayachavadimachalotacher, you get Malkus on. So then that means in this machlokas between Rebbe Elazar on the one hand and Rebbe Yosef Rebbe Chanina on the other hand, who is the one who is saying you get malchus? Rebbe Elazar. But we just proved it was Rebbe Yosef Rebbe Chanina who said you're getting malchus because he was the one who said in the brisa that there's four cases. So now we just proved that both people on either side of the fence hold the same thing. So what's going on over here? Says the Gemara, gee, Kistayem, you know what? You're right. That absolutely proves that he's the guy. You don't think this is a little bit of a problem, says the Gemara? So Elo Rebbe Yosef Rebbe Chanina Amar Eino Loka, are we supposed to say that he contradicted himself? So what, he doesn't know what he's talking about? No, you misunderstood the whole thing of Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina. When Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina added on yesterday's daf, no, there's another case. He didn't say, no, there's another case. He said, there's also another case. You thought he was referring to the three cases that was listed. No, he was referring to the Chachomim who were arguing. And they were saying, you'll never get Malkas and Alav She'imbo Mais. Says Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina, yes, not even on Maleach HaVadim HaKha'al Ta'akher. That one also not. So that, what he was saying was Dafka, what he is saying over here. Karat Hashem, no problem. What do you mean, no problem, says Rabbi Elazar. Malkas, no, no problem. So that's what he was saying over there. Maleach HaVadim HaKha'al is not a case where you would get Malkas. And lo, Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina, aptura. He was going on the tour that you do not. He's saying, af hamaktim likros, truma konam abikurim, is a lota sir she'en bo maisa, ve'en lo kina lav. So, achi koma, lav she'en bo maisa, en lo kina lav is what we said yesterday. Comes along, Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina say, even in the case where you're maktim truma labikurim, it's the same. Now the question is, why? I thought we were ready to conclude that according to Rabbi Yochanan, Temura is considered to be a special case in which you do get malchus, just for talking. Why? Because you caused an action. I don't understand. So, and if you caused truma to be truma, is that different than causing a korban to be a korban? So how could Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina, go along with the Temura, which, I mean, there's no choice. It says so in the Mishnah. So he'd have to go along with the Temura. The only explanation that we had for Temura yesterday was Rabbi Yochanan, Mipnei Shedibro HaSamaisa. And then, if that's the case, Maleach HaVadim HaKha'al Te'acher is exactly the same thing, Bedibro HaSamaisa. So I don't understand the logic in it. I mean, if you have to admit that Temura, asks the Gemara Umayshna Meima, why is it that Temura, we said, the Loki? Over there you get Malkus, why? Mishum Dibi Diburo HaSamaaseh. The whole point is because you caused a change in the korban. Maktim truma labikurim nami luka. So why don't you get malchus for causing truma to be there before the bikurim? That's a maisa. It made a change. This thing now became a matana to the kohen. You're giving it to the kohen. I understand. It's all very nice that it was only done by speech, but you said things that are achieved by speech are nonetheless things that are achieved. So here too, nami luka, mishum dibidur bediburo asamase. Omer Rabbi Yovin, said Rabbi Yovin, true. As far as the logic is concerned, of lav she'en bo maaseh, absolutely you would get malchus, but you're not taking into consideration, says Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina, my broad interpretation of another concept. Now this is an amazing thing, because tumura, Masechet Temura becomes the source of all of the dinim that have to do with what is the relationship between when HaKadosh Baruch Hu says not to do something and the results of doing it nonetheless. And we're going to see tomorrow the major sugya, which is the concept of Kol ma'ad ovid ra'omar achmano lo ta'avid. Wherever the Torah says don't do something, if you do it, it won't happen. If it's in terms of a chalos. That's a klal. Now that obviously is not what's happening over here by Temura. And it's because of that that Temura is so vid. The Torah says what, out of one mouth, don't you dare be meimir. If you're meimir, both animals are kodesh. So in other words, the relationship of my doing the opposite of what Hashem is doing is like to achieve what I want to do double. So what does that say about the relationship to the lavim and to the asis and so on, you see? So this becomes, in its essence, a mesechet, and that's why we saw right away from the beginning that we were focusing on the onesh and the way in which I'm saying, don't be meimer. Anybody can be meimer. What do you mean anybody can be meimer? So that already opened up with the strange ambivalence that we had towards that verb, don't be meimer, meaning don't achieve Torah, you can't achieve Torah, can't do Torah. The shutfim that cannot achieve Torah, nonetheless are told not to try to achieve Torah, and will be chaya for trying to achieve Torah. Oh my God. So then that means that the same Isser, you can have different results and different relationships to the Onesh and to the Isser, right? So all of this is a unbelievably profound reason for the way that the whole parak is structured. All around these issues. Lav Shein Bo Maisa, Lav Anitak Laaseh, which we're about to talk about, an Isra that creates an Isra Ayyadei Maisa, Kol Ma'adom Rachman Alot Savir Yavid Mahani, or Yavid Lo Mahani, Big Machlokas. These things are Megea Kol Hashas. They all come here because they're all insights into the nature of Tumura. It's really very beautiful. And the way that the Gemara pretends, as it always does, and it's so brilliantly arranged, it looks like we just sort of fell into a question, you know. And now Rabbi Chanina, oh, he's contradicting himself. Well, there's another issue you didn't take into consideration. What's the other issue? I didn't take into consideration. Oh, there's a whole other concept called Lava Nitta Glass A. I thought I knew everything there was to know about Lava Nitta Glass A. Oh, you haven't even begun thinking about Lava Nitta Glass A, as we're going to see. Because what I have, says Rabbi Chanina, is a whole new approach to what would be incorporated in the cases of a lav hanitik la'aseh. Now let me give you a little bit of a background on this. We're going to be getting to it later in the Gemara, but we won't get it today, Barry. And therefore, it's good just to focus for a second. What? Nitak means that it's attached to. Right. So it clicks in immediately into this. So classic example of that would be lo totiru mimenu ad boker. Don't leave over the carbon until the morning. Hanotar mimenu ad boker beish tisrofo. If you do leave something over to the morning, burn it. So what is that telling you? It's telling you, look, if I just told you don't leave over anything to the morning, you'd have to worry about being chay of malchus if you did, other than the problem of it not being a maisa, right? When I tell you, okay, but if you did, go ahead and burn it. So then I'm telling you, that's the response that I want for being over on this Isra. It's like we had by Shiloh HaKein. Don't take the mother on the train. If you do, then send her away, right? Okay, so on and so forth. A lot of discussion that we've had about this back in Kulin and so on. Huh? This is a correction. It offers you a correction. Now, how about where it offers you not exactly a correction, but something to do about where it's not always going to help? So let's take a look at this issue. That includes bikurim, taking off truma before bikurim, taking off maaser before truma, taking off maaser sheni before maaser rishon, and so on and so forth, right? One of those cases is a fascinating case. The case is where a levi gets maaser rishon, and he gets it at a stage where the tefuah was not yet ready to take off truma. Because truma, you can only take off after you've smoothed it. If you take off maaser at an earlier stage, it's good maaser. The levi got the maaser in this case early. When he goes ahead and he takes off truma's maaser, now he's taking off truma's maaser before the truma gedayla, right? Though in that case where he received it before the truma gedola ever needed to be taken, the Torah has a fascinating pasuk that we're going to dash later on. Mikol matnotechem tarimo kol trumas Hashem. Whatever matanot you got, take off all the types of truma. What is that supposed to mean? From all your gifts, take off all the trumas? I mean, like, that definitely seems to be talking about a lady who got a gift, and he's supposed to be taking off all of the trumas and so on. We'll see later on how we learn out that means that even if the maaser had been taken out before, you could still be mitaken, taking off the truma afterwards, right? Fine. Therefore, I say that is telling you what to do in the event that you ended up with Meisser before Truma. Okay? So that means it's fixable. Now, I know what you're going to say to me. You're going to say to me, for heaven's sake, that pusik does not appear anywhere near the Din HaMelech HaChavadim HaCha Al Ta'achar. What in the world is that? That's the middle of Korach. Like, what does that have to do with the Iker Bris HaMelech HaChavadim HaCha Lo Ta'achar? First of all, I want you to know, who cares? Why does a mitzvah asay that addresses a law, why does it have to be presented as if it's a law in the class say? Okay, fine. Maybe, I don't know. Oh, but I have another thing to say to you. Because the next thing you're going to say is, okay, fine. That's all very nice when it comes to fixing the truma and truma's meiser with the meiser relationship. What does it have to do with the bikurim and the truma? True, says Rabbi Yosef. This is, by the way, the way Tosfos understands the whole sugya. That's why I'm explaining it early like this, because otherwise it's a very disturbing sugya. True, says Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Hanina. However, once it's clear that one aspect of an iser is allowed to be addressed, then it's telling you that that iser is the type of iser that the Torah is not looking at to give malchus for. Whoa. You want to hear another amazing expression of this? Right? Even though there's no way to fix that problem, nothing to do about the Bikurim and the Truma. Okay, but it's basically the same issue. I mean, once Torah told you that there's some weird esoteric case that you can address, so then fine, that means that this is not a law that I want you to get Malkus for. Okay, but even though I can't address it, I'm still not going to get Malkus. Once I've excluded Malkus, then I don't bring it back in another event. Now, by that token, which is not the way we normally look at a lava nitik lase, lava nitik lase always is, to everybody else beside Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Hanina, either you can fix it or you can't. There's a machlokas about whether or you can't means you have to have done something to make it impossible to fix, or whether just the fact that you didn't fix. Fine, that's called kima velo kima, bitla velo bitla, that itself is a major machlokas. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Hanina is dumping that whole discussion. So let's imagine a case like this. Here's an amazing case. I'm bringing this case because we're going to be exactly dealing with this case in a moment. Somebody rapes a girl. The chiyuv on him would be he must marry her. And lo yuchal legarsha kol yamav. If he divorces her, he's over on an iser lav. Does he get malchus for divorcing her? No, because lo tihye leisha is the way to fix that. Just as at the beginning I say, she's got to be your wife. Oh, but I divorced her. Okay, she's got to be your wife. You better go back and remarry her fast. Okay, so then that means the remarriage is the nitek, is the asay to which the lo yuchal legarsha is the lotas, right? By the way, note how the flow directly from the words, lo yuchal legarsha, he cannot divorce her. I thought that means he cannot divorce her. It's like I always tell you about that army car, you know, that we used to steal as kids, right?
Will not ride.
This car will not start until the seatbelt is fastened, right? I was always like so shocked, I told you, because I used to think that it actually meant that. First of all, there were no such thing as seatbelts yet. It was only the armies that had seatbelts. It's like, oh my God, this thing just got like this electric connection. Unless you can, you know, so always be very careful to put on the seatbelt. I finally realized that doesn't know anything about the seatbelt. What they meant is that since this is the army, they're telling you, this is the way it is, buddy. This car will not start. Whoa. I was absolutely floored, but it's exactly this lotion. So if the Torah says, lo yuchal legarsha, it should mean that if you try to be megarasher, you can't. It won't work. If I'm the one who created divorce, I'm telling you, you can't divorce her, so then it's not going to help you to divorce her. You understand that? Therefore, the very next sugya will be, what happens when the Torah says you can't do something? Does it mean you can't, or does it mean you shouldn't? That's the next sugya, directly. Exactly. The entire thing, right? So it's an amazing flow, and it all looks to be completely accidental. I mean, the amount of planning that is going into setting up this stuff, it's just like it's maddening. And it's always like this. Things look like they're thrown in at random over here. And then when you see them made a struggle, it's what Rambam says. Rambam says, anybody who sees what Rav Ashi had done over here with the structure recognizes that it's superhuman. It's obviously it's impossible to achieve this. Yeah. Oh, are you a smart guy? That's exactly. That's where we're headed. Exactly. So what if he's a Kohen? If he's a Kohen and he divorced her, then he can't remarry her. But according to Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Hanina, who cares? The Torah doesn't have to cover every possible case where you could, just like over here, Malaya Chavadi Macha. I didn't cover Bikurim and Truma. I only covered that one case about the Levi that got. But nonetheless, you said, since the Torah has shown that this is a Lava Nita Glossi somewhere, it doesn't matter. Well, if you're not a Kohen, is it a Lava Nita Glossi? Okay, so then that means that the Kohen should not get Malkus. That's exactly the problem. Because what it says is that the Kohen does get Malkus. And that proves that Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Hanina is wrong. That's what we're going to be getting to. But it's all based on this unique expansion of the concept of Lava Nita Glossi, according to Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Hanina. Once you understand that, now the Gemara starts making sense. Otherwise, as Tosis points out, what?
Okay. Well, Tosis says what?
Okay. Okay.
So he divorces the woman.
Well, okay, let's get to it. Let's get to it inside now.
It's, all right. It's an inside question, actually.
Let's get to it inside. So therefore, says Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Hanina that the reason that in this case you're not going to get Malkus is because it's a Lava Nita Glossi. Because it says, "Bikol Masrotechem Tarimu." So Rav Dini was saying over, "This is a tremendous chiddush." So Abaya says, "What? The whole lav shenitik laseh lo lucky? You're telling me whenever there's a lav shenitik laseh, you don't get malchus?" Again, Tosis explains, "What is that supposed to mean?" But Abaya never heard of a lav shenitik laseh. And all over the Gemara, we've been talking about Shiluach HaKain, we've been talking about notes, we're talking about hundreds of things, and he brings up all these Gemaras. What is Abaya asking? Like, what, are you in kindergarten? That's what. The whole point is this, Tosis. Abaya is saying, with your new understanding of Lava Nita Glase, then how do you understand even the din of Tamura? Look at Tamura. Is Tamura not a Lava Nita Glase? So Tosis says, because that's exactly the point. How in the world is Tamura Lava Nita Glase? What, because V'hayahu Tamura Toya Kodesh, that is that. That's an address. The Isser of making a Tamura, and that's just telling you what its status is, right? So how do you call that a Lav Hanitik Laseh B'chlal? He said, but with your new explanation, in which Lav Hanitik Laseh means something completely different than it means to everybody else, then the same thing is true over here, even though it isn't actually the same. Of course, it's not a direct expression of Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Hanina. The idea over here is that once Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Hanina has so broadened the concept of Lava Nita Glaseh that anywhere that I see the Torah addressing something, even if it's far away, even if it's in a different case, even if it's in a different item, so then there should also be a Lava Nita Glaseh by those standards. That's what Abaya is asking. And yet, if it's a Lava Nita Glaseh, the Mishnah says, nonetheless, you're loka. You were trying to tell me there's a big difference between the case of Tamura, which is Al Yadei Ma'asav Aseh Ma'aseh. And then I asked you, so why not Malaya Chavadi Macha? And you say, because, yes, that's true, but it's a Lava Nita Glaseh. I mean, by those standards, so is the Tamura a Lava Nita Glaseh. And yet the Mishnah says, you know, Meimah, the Lava Nita Glaseh of a Loki, it's not Losh Adam Roshay Lahamir, Elosh Inay Mir Mumar, Visofeget Abayim. Well, says Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Hanina, yes, you're right. Tamura is a Lava Nita Glaseh. You got to be kidding. I'm not kidding. But there's two lavim when it comes to Tamura. Lo yachlifenu v'lo yamiroto. The Lava Nita Glaseh only cancels one. So therefore, if you're going to get Malkus, you'll still get Malkus on the other one, which explains why it was only 40 and not 80. Because the meaning of Lava Nita Glaseh is no longer understood as I need to be able to fix this with what I'm doing. Because you've changed the whole meaning. So now we expand it into achieving a change that the Torah now wants you to work with and deal with.
According to
no, the mitzvah say is Vayahu Tamura Sayyakodesh, to treat it like a Tamura. Yes, yeah, of course, that is a mitzvah say. It is. The Rambam lists it as a mitzvah. So therefore, you're right, Abaya. Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina has got an answer for everybody. You're right. You're right. You're also right. Everybody's right. I got an answer for everything. So it's true. I seem to be making distinctions that are not distinctions, but that's because you haven't figured out my next step. Okay. So my first difference was in terms of Lavanita Klase. Now it's because Trey Lavi Vechad Asay. You can't come along with one Asay to be Oker two Lavim. Okay, now come on. What about a guy who rapes a woman? Over there you have one mitzvah Asay to marry her. One mitzvah Lot Asay, not to divorce her. The mitzvah of marrying her is always on you. So therefore it's a Lavanita Klase. Okay, so you have Chad Asay, and it's all you have over there, and a Chad Lav, and the essay doesn't, according to your standards, the essay does not come, even in that case, to be Oker the Lav. How do I know? Mordechai's case of the Kohen, the Tanya. One Shigiresh. So let's say a rapist, he's Megarish's wife. It's a Lav and it's a say by our standards. So if he's a Yisrael, he can go ahead and remarry her, and then he doesn't get mounted. That is Lav and it's a say. So in Yisrael, who marks your venerable. But if he's a Kohen, then he's Lokaveno Machzir. Now, I know, according to our standards, this makes perfectly good sense. If you're a Kohen, you can't take her back, and therefore there's no way to fix what you did. You divorced her, you were over on the lab. Too bad, buddy, and now we beat you up. But according to your standards, okay, the Kohen, okay, so you're right, the Kohen couldn't. But it's still, in general, a Avanita Glase for any good old Yisrael, so why would the Kohen be Chai of Malkus? That's the next issue. I said that that's the natural flow of things. Fine.
And if she does, and if she marries somebody else.
Yeah, fine.
That's, and there's a kid from that.
That's also Nogea, the whole issue of Kima Velokimo and so on and so forth. Fine. So how are you going to explain that? Says Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina, you're also right. I got an answer for this too. What's the answer for this too? The answer for this, too, is, come on, you're asking about Kohanim. Kohanim are a whole different world. Shinei Kohanim. The issue of Kohanim, Taima Achrino, that's for another reason. It's not because it's a Lava Nitiklasa. It's because the Rabbi Rachmana Kedusha Yetera for Kohanim. Since the Torah added a stronger Kedusha for Kohanim, therefore, again, this only works according to him, you understand? Because the whole relationship between the Lav and the Asay is so new and different, according to him, that if I can identify a difference in types between the Lav and the Asay, then even by my standards, it's not covering that. Well, where's the difference in types? What do you mean? There's a major difference between a Yisrael, let's say, who wouldn't be able to remarry her because he makes a netter that he's never able to be nenet from her, al-das rabim, and therefore he can never marry her. Whatever, right? That case, it's just a different case. It's not a different type. But the mitzvah on the Kohen was a bigger mitzvah than on the Yisrael. And therefore, the lo yuchal agarsha on a Kohen is a different madrega of lo yuchal agarsha. It's not the same lo yuchal agarsha. The Torah adds new mitzvahs to the Kohanim, even though it says in the same words. So because of that, you can't use an asay that was only designed to fix the lower Isser for Yisrael to fix the higher Isser for Kohen. Ha-ha. So all of this is a brand new way of looking at life. This is Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina's new approach. And because of that, he's answering everything according to his unbelievable and beautiful way of saying things. So because of that, it should be exactly the same. Time achrino. Okay. Actually, by the way, says the Gemara, you should know that the question of lava nitiklase and its relationship to the initial machlokas that we had over here about whether a lav she'en bo maisa loikin a lav or not, you already know that those two things are very intimately related by the Tanoim, because we've had this numerous times before. Kitanoi, the question about Lav Shein Bo Maisa is, we already mentioned before that according to Rabbi Yehuda, we've got a sheet that a Lav Shein Bo Maisa Loikin Alav. That's from here. The Torah says, Lo Yashiro Mimenu Ad Boker. Do not leave anything over from your Korban Pesach, or your Korban. Vehan Notar Mimenu Ad Boker Be'esh Tisrof. If you leave it over to the morning, burn it. That is, why did the Torah say that? That's the reason you don't get malchus, because you're supposed to burn it. Says Rabbi Yaakov, that's not the reason you don't get malchus. The reason you don't get malchus is because of lav shein bo ma'aseh. Oh, unbelievable. So the one place where we have the perfect example of a lav shein bo ma'aseh, we have a lav mitzvah. Oh my God, so what do we do now? So it was the Torah, the Dafka created a situation where you have both issues together. Right? It's like the Ravid writes about the Rambam in one place. I'd swear if he wasn't out to get us mixed up. I mean, I would really think he's doing it just to drive us crazy. Okay? So here we have one thing, which is both a lav nitzik latzei, or it's a lav shein bo ma'aseh. So Rabbi Yehuda says, well, it's because it's a lav nitzik latzei. So Rabbi Yehuda, no, it's not because it's a lav nitzik latzei. It's because it's a lav shein bo ma'aseh and lokan alav, which means michlal. So obviously, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that would not be a good enough reason. Michlal Rabbi Yehuda sava, you are lokan alav, even though it's a lav shein bo ma'aseh. But wait a minute. So according to Rabbi Yaakov, why does the Torah have to say vanotar mimenu ad boker be'ish tisrofu lamai ata? Now, that's a ridiculous question. What do you mean? Obviously, I need to know that there's a mitzvah to burn it? I mean, what's the difference whether it's a lav nitzik latzei or not, right? How can you ask the question, why does the Torah say to burn it in the morning? What do you mean, why does the Torah say to burn it? Because there's a mitzvah to burn it in the morning. So Tarsus explains the question is like this. If the mitzvah to burn it in the morning has nothing to do with the fact that you left it over and were over on the Isser, this is not the place to say so. You want to tell me, lo tortiru mimenu ad boker. That's a halacha in how you're supposed to treat your Korban Pesach. If you're in the middle of talking about the Korban Pesach, don't break the bones, don't leave anything. But all of a sudden, in the middle of this, I'm telling you what to do with it in the morning. You can write that afterwards in the dinim of what you're supposed to do with the Psulei HaMukdashim. This is not the place to discuss that. The very fact that you write it this way, and if you do, then you better, so in other words, and if you don't burn it in the morning, you're in big trouble because then you're going to get malchus. That's what it sounds like. So according to Rabbi Yaakov, the placement doesn't make any sense. So why does it write it this way? Oh, that's because this is exactly where it belongs. There are lots of things the Torah talks about. Don't eat. You're not allowed to. You can't break a bone in the Korban Pesach and so on and so forth, right? Now there's other things that we have over here. So you could have atzamot, gidim, nosar. All of these things are normally burned. The question is, when? It's Yontif. Am I supposed to burn them in the morning? I'm really supposed to burn them in the morning, the next morning? So that comes along the Torah to say, I want to mention, in context of Boker, I said, lo totiru mimenu ad Boker. Listen to the next words. V'hanotar mimenu ad Boker. Why not just say, v'hanotar mimenu beish tisrofu? That's the whole point. I'm not coming to tell you the din of Anotar Beish Tisrof. I would have told you that somewhere else. I'm putting this here in order for you to hear that repetition. Lo tatiru mimenu ad boker. V'anotar mimenu ad boker. Didn't you just say that? Yes. So, come on, Dum-Dum. Yeah, so. Oh, you mean another morning. Right. You got it. That's the morning after Yantar. Right. Now I got it. Okay. So therefore, by putting it this way, now I understand the whole thing. That's the point, says Rabbi Yaakov. So that comes to tell me that if, and let's say the next morning was Shabbos, so you'd make a Kal V'chomer. If I wasn't allowed to burn it the next morning when it was just Yontif, obviously I'm going to have to wait now to the morning of the 17th. I can't burn it on the 16th. I can never burn it on the morning of the 15th. That's what's coming to tell me. So Chal Anosi Yisrafu, when? B'shishasa. Chal Shishasa Leot B'Shabbat. Because we see from here, the fish ain't dochin lo ata Shabbat ve lo ata Yom Tov. Because otherwise, what is it? You have the mitzvahs that say to burn it, to burn it on Yom Tov. It should be doichin lo ata se Yom Tov. Kamashu on the posik, no. The chain tana de vechiskia. My taima, the basis of this is, omakro lo tatiru menu ad boker, hanotami menu ad boker again, besh tisrofu. That gives you a second morning. I'm not talking stam boker like I'm crazy. I want you to hear that we're talking about not the next morning. Beautiful. Now starts the sugya that all of this was leading up to. If the Torah says don't do something, if you did do it, it's going to work. And that will be a big machlokas tomorrow. because Isaac, if you're going to tell me it doesn't work, how could you get Malkus? You don't get Malkus just for trying, do you? Rava says, no. The Dura says, you can't do it, and it won't help you at all. Lo mahani mine. Why do you try get Malkus? Because you tried to do it. Mishum da'ovar ha'meim ha'derachmana. That begins this major, beautiful sugya for tomorrow, which we now see in context of the broader sense of Lav Shein Bo Maisa and Lav Hanitik Lase and Dibor Basias Maisa and all of these wonderful sugyas that are Nogea Kol HaShas Kulay, all because of the beautiful way that the Torah says, don't make a tamura, but if you do, Vayahuv Tamura To Yeh Kodesh, with all of that implies. Brilliant. Okay, it's lots of fun. And it's amazing, isn't it, how it looks on the surface to be like, you know, oh God, this detail. It's unbelievable. Earth-shattering. Yeah.